We're in our second week of our three-week series called Fear Not. The first week we talked about that when the angel showed up to Mary and said, Mary, just so you know, I know you're somewhere between the ages of 14 and 16. He probably actually knew her age, but anyways, you're somewhere between those ages and you haven't, you're engaged to be married, but you're not actually married, and you haven't done the things that married people do, but just so you know, you're going to have a baby. And we talked about the fear of God's plan for our life. The fear of what God might do if we surrender to Him. The fear of what God, where God may lead us if we say, you can lead us wherever you want. Where might that end up being? What might that mean for my life? What could that look like? And so we talked about that last week. This week we're going to talk about when the angel showed up to Joseph. I'm going to talk specifically about the fear of what other people will think about us, or the fear of what other people do think about us. I've kind of always been out there. I remember as a young guy, elementary and high school, I liked being sort of out there, sort of different than people. But I liked people thinking it was a cool kind of out there, not a weird kind of out there. You know the difference? If you don't know the difference, I think I know which one you are. But anyways, I would sort of do different things. My mom was a hairdresser. So usually I had a different hairstyle. Usually actually it was just frosted tips. That's probably... Mostly, that's all it was. But anyways, I would always bleach my hair, and I looked like Eminem. I don't know if you know Eminem, but anyways, I would always look like bleached hair and look really kind of funny. And so I'd ask my mom to do all sorts of different things. One, I always said, Mom, I need blue hair. I want blue hair. It was just a dream of mine. I don't know why it was. I said, and she goes, Evan, you can't do blue hair because you have brown hair. It won't work. And I say, well, then bleach my hair three times and then turn it blue, right? And she goes, she'd just always say, no, I'll do your hair in a cute little mushroom cut and that's it, you know? And so eventually I convinced her. She bleached it one time. I said, Mom, how about just a little bit of blue? Just put some streaks in there, you know? And so she's like, okay, yeah, sure. And so I'm, yes, this is going to be awesome. I had a short haircut. Well, she did lightning bolts in the side of my head, blue lightning bolts. And I'm like, yeah, okay, don't really see where you're going with that one, Mom, but I'll give it a go. I show up at school, and the first kid that sees me goes, is your vein in the side of your head sticking out? I'm like, no, actually, that's really cool, blue hair. You obviously are not cool because you don't get it. You know, I'm like, I went home, like, Mom, you got to take care of this because this is not good. But I still wanted to keep taking risks. Well, when I was in high school, I was grade 9. My hair was pretty long, and I had always wanted, like when I was at my mom's hairdressing salon, she'd go, Evan, look through the book and tell me what kind of hairstyle you want. And I knew that, I learned over time that this was a lie. What she said, she wanted me to tell her what I wanted and that she was going to cut a mushroom cut. That was it. But I looked through the book, and every time if I was to pick what I wanted, it was always curly hair. You know, if you have nice curly hair, you should just celebrate that hair. Because I was like, I just want, Mom, I want this hair. She goes, that person's got curls. I'm like, well, just do the same haircut, but with my hair. It was straight and fine, sort of like now. But anyways, I'd say, just do the haircut. It doesn't matter if it's not curly, just do the haircut because that's what I want. And she'd do it and it would look just atrocious. And so I keep saying every time, I want this haircut, this curly hair. Eventually she says, you'd need a perm. I'm like, ding, light bulb. I want a perm, Mom. So I had long hair. I was in grade 9 or something. I think there were times in history when perms were cool for boys, but this wasn't one of those times. And I'm like, bingo, Mom, you're brilliant. Of course I'm going to get a perm. Yes. Oh, I have to look through the book again. I'm like, everyone would get perms if their mom was a hairdresser, but they don't have moms as a hairdresser, so I'm going to be the coolest kid in school. And I start flipping through all the things, looking at which one should I get? Which curly hairdo should I do? This is going to be awesome. My mom perms my hair, and it's a nice tight perm too. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, yes, I am going to be the talk of the school, which I probably was for different reasons. But so I show up, I show up at school and I'm feeling, I probably wore my nicest sweatpants that I had and walked into school and did my thing. And the first person that sees me goes, "What happened to your hair?" I'm like, and I'd have like the bouncing, it was bouncing around, right? Like, yeah, I know, hey. It's like bouncing all over the place and all. I'm like, this is awesome, right? He goes, "That's what girls do to their hair." I'm like, "Well, now it's what boys do to their hair, you know?" And I kept going. Every one of my friends hated my hair. No offense if you're a man here and you perm your hair, that's all right. But it didn't work with me. And they're like, everyone that went up to me said, "That's what girls, you can't perm your hair. What are you doing?" The next day, shaved it all off. My mom was pretty upset because perms take a little while. I shaved it all off. I'm like, "I can't handle it. People don't like my hair." I thought I was going to be the coolest hair. Everyone was going to love me because of my hair. And instead, everyone mocked me and made fun of me to the point where I just said, "I'm just shaving it off and starting again." Never did I perm it again. And now I certainly couldn't. I gave in to what other people thought about me. I didn't want to walk around the school feeling like everyone was looking at me and thinking about how it's goofy or silly my hair looked or girly my hair looked or whatever. I didn't want that. I couldn't handle that. And I think all of us have that in us somewhere. We kind of don't really like the idea of other people not liking something about us. We put up our best front. We want to look a certain way, and we want people to consider us a certain way and think about us a certain way, and we have a fear of what other people might think sometimes. We have a fear about how other people may feel about us sometimes. I don't know what yours is. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's just you have a fear. I know in our stage of life, you have a fear that other people are going to think your kids are super poorly behaved. "Oh, your kids act like that." Like, "No, no, no, no. This is a bad day. It's okay. Come on, kids, get out of here. Like, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine. This is just a rough day. They're not usually like this," right? We want to justify this. "They're not usually like this." Or someone shows up at your house and it's a mess. "No, no, yeah, this has been, you'd have no idea what this day was like. We did this, we did this, we did this. So anyways, it's no problem. Just shove it in the door and kick it behind. And like, it's all good. This isn't what our house normally looks like. You came on an off day today," right? We want people to think the best of us. Or what if we act a different way when we're in high school? Maybe some of you are in high school. And we want people to think that we're actually doing everything like everyone else is doing. And we want it to just, "Don't worry, yeah, I'm the same as you. I do all the same stuff as you. Yeah, I sort of do the church thing too. But I do everything the same as you. Let's just all make sure that we feel just fine about each other and it's all good. Now, I just want you to see me a certain way. The clothes we wear. You know, the Instagram photos that we post, the social media that we show to people, the way we present ourselves, the car that we drive. Will people like my car or not? Who loves a 98 CRV? Come on, I do. But anyways, will people love what we have? Will they think it's great? If they get in my car, is it going to be too dirty or stinky or smelly or whatever? Are they going to want to be with me or not? Do I like the right things? Do I act the right way? We all have some fear of what others will think about us. Joseph dealt with this in his story, in the Christmas story, his piece of the Christmas story. In Matthew 1, 18 to 23, we'll catch up on where the story's at. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, both things that make him a pretty good guy. He's a good law-abiding citizen. He follows the Christian rules. He follows all that stuff. But also, he actually cares about Mary. He actually loves her. He wants to be careful about her feelings and about how other people perceive her. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. You might say they weren't married. Why are they getting divorced? But at that point, they got engaged, and at that point in history, the engagement would last like a year long. or they'd prepare themselves, and they'd get ready, and all of these things would happen, and they'd get all set up for the marriage to take place. But the commitment was already made. The commitment was there. They were locked in. It was going to happen, but they wouldn't consummate their marriage until they actually got married. So there's this year of preparing for each other, but being committed to each other and being committed to God and not crossing certain boundaries and walking it through together. This is what it was all about. So he had to, if he wanted to break it off, he had to divorce her. He had to legally, actually do it. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the angel comes up to Joseph and says, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife." You know, remember that weird conversation that you had where Mary came up to you and said, "Hey, Joe, honey, like, just so you know, I'm pregnant, and I know that's kind of weird because we haven't had sex, and so that's a bit odd, but anyways, the Holy Spirit is doing it, so what do you think?" And he's like, "Well, I think we should probably call this wedding off because things are going a little bit crazy," right? The angel shows up and says, "Hey, Joseph, I want you to know something. What she says is true. You don't have to be afraid to marry her. What she says is true." And I think probably here's what goes on in Joseph's head. Okay, even if what she says is true, no one but her and me are going to believe it. No one but the ones who the angel came and spoke to are going to believe it. Angel, are you going to go speak to everyone else for us? Can you go tell everyone in our community who's going to disown us that actually, don't worry, it's from the Holy Spirit? Are you going to go to our parents who raised us to be better than this? Are you going to go to our parents who showed us how to do marriage and how to live this life? Are you going to go to them and tell them that this is from the Holy Spirit too? Are you going to go and let our pastor know that? Are you going to let all of our leaders and our mentors and our teachers and everyone who's been in our life, are you going to tell them all that? Because we could really use you telling everyone that. Because at this point, if you just tell Mary and you tell me, then everyone's going to think that I'm as crazy and she's as crazy as I thought she was before you talked to me. Joseph's probably racking his brain, remembering the thoughts that he thought about Mary when she told him, "You're crazy, Mary, or you're lying." Like, honestly, if someone walks up to you, you got to think about this. This is the first time and last time this has happened in history. It wouldn't be any more normal now if your fiance walked up to you and you hadn't slept together and they came up to you and said, "I'm pregnant." And you say, "Whose is it?" "Holy Spirit's. So it's no problem. So it's okay. I said yes. I said we're good." To the angel. Angel, eh? Yeah, angel. Right. "We're getting a divorce." You know, like, this is where Joseph went. Because either she's a little bit loopy and angels are talking to her and she forgot how she got pregnant and starting to blame it on an angel and the Holy Spirit, or she's lying. What else would have Joseph thought? He planned on divorcing her. He thought one of those two things. Either my wife's crazy and I didn't see it, or she's cheated on me and she's lying about it. One of those two things is the reality in Joseph's life. Now an angel comes and speaks to him, and he knows every person is going to think the same thing about them that he thought about Mary. Either they're going to think that we're lying to them, or that she cheated on me, that this kid isn't mine, That we're going to be the talk of the town, or they're just going to think that, yeah, we didn't do the proper marriage things, we didn't follow through the steps, we're going to be cast out of the temple, we're going to be asked not to be part of this community because we didn't follow the proper procedure for marriage, or every time that we're over at a movie or whatever, they're going to look at us and say, oh yeah, that kid isn't yours, Joseph. They're not going to get it, they're not going to understand it. How are we supposed to walk through this? And he's afraid, I imagine, about what other people would have thought. See, when we become obsessed with what people think about us, we'll forget what God thinks about us. Here's Joseph. The angel has spoken to him and said, Joseph, remember that Messiah that you've been thinking about? Remember that one that everyone's been talking about? Remember the dream that all of Israel has had of that Savior that was going to come? Well, it's in your soon-to-be wife's tummy. It's growing right now. You're going to be the legal guardian. You're going to be the dad of the Messiah, the one that everyone has spoken of. I mean, in that conversation with God, you'd be thinking, what? Whoa! How did I get this role? This is the best. Well, you go back to your room. How are my parents going to understand this? How's my workplace? How's my pastor? How's all this going to work out? When we become obsessed with what other people think, we forget what God thinks about us. The only way to fix this is to become obsessed with what God thinks about us. When we become obsessed with what God thinks about us, we'll forget what other people think about us altogether. I remember when I was in grade 9. I don't know if there's any grade 9s. Any grade 9s in the room? Oh, we got at least one grade 9 up there. When I was in grade 9, I remember sitting in school. It was probably like, it was first week, maybe third day in. I was in math class, and there's these two girls chatting in front of me, and I remember them, their conversation, and feeling kind of like, I don't really fit this school, but anyways, here's where I am. And I remember one of them in grade 9 looking back to me and saying, you're not one of those virgin kids, are you? In grade 9. And I was like, don't you see this blue streak in my hair? Like, duh. Yes, I am one of those. But I remember early on, that the feeling of are you actually going to be one of those Jesus kind of people? Are you actually going to live that kind of life? If Joseph follows through with this and gets married, he's all of a sudden going to discover what it's like to follow God's plan and have everyone else disappointed in him. Have everyone else displeased in him. Everyone else looking at him and saying, you failed, you've messed up, you're confused, you're broken. It's often that when we decide to follow God's plan for our life, that others are going to turn away from us. We can't think that when we decide, I'm just going to do whatever God asks me, and that everyone else is going to say, right on, good job. All my friends in school didn't say, Evan, good job for being a virgin. Congratulations, you're awesome. They said, you're a square. I remember that one. Yo, what are you doing? Are you crazy? That girl likes you. What are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to follow God. Don't you think that's pretty awesome? Nope. No one did in school. What about if God says, I want you to go on the mission field? Give up that high-paying job you have. I want you to go and just serve elsewhere in the world. You think everyone else is going to come around beside, oh, way to go. There might be a couple of Christians that say, hey, good for you. This is incredible. And maybe some of them will support you. But mostly you're going to start to lose a lot of money. You're going to have a lot lower income. And if you follow what God wants you to do, people are going to say you're crazy. They're not going to be pleased with you. You won't be pleasing people to follow God. Almost every one of us, in fact, I'll say every one of us at some point is going to have to make a decision for God. Or make the easier decision for people. We have to decide what we're going to do. Sometimes people may ask you, why would you give money to a church? Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. Do you know that they don't even do a good job with that? They're not even doing anything. They're just out to get your money. That's what they're doing. Why would you give money to a church? I don't know. God asked me to. I'm just trying to follow what God has asked. I have a friend who's talked to me about his very workplace, them talking about tithing. Okay, that's fine that you go to church, but do you tithe to it? Well, actually, yes, I do. Pfft, come on. Why would you do that? Come on, you decide to stick in a marriage maybe where there's been an affair. There's been something bad has happened. Lots of people are going to come to you. Just get out of there. He's never going to change. She's never going to change. Why would you do it? I don't know. God seems to be calling me to stick in this marriage. Come on, get out of there. You don't need to do that. Maybe someone's going to say to you, you don't need to get married. You're in a relationship. You're happily doing your thing. You've been living together for a long time. Things are nice. You love each other. You don't actually need to get married. And God says, time for you to get married. So, no. I don't think I need to. There's always going to be people disappointed with your choices when you choose God. You can't get away from it. We can't decide that Joseph would have had a happy-go-lucky life after this. Yay, my wife's pregnant with the Holy Spirit's baby. just skipping through town. Isn't this great, everybody? My wife is so pregnant and things are going so well. And isn't this so fun, everybody? And everyone else is saying, no, it's not great, Joseph. I don't know why I didn't leave her long ago. I don't know why I didn't pull out of that thing long ago. I don't know why I didn't drop her. Move on with your life long ago. If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. We're even going to do some things as a church people will criticize. We're going to try some things as a church. Lots of churches will tell us you shouldn't try those things. No. That's not how it's always been done, so you shouldn't do it that way. And God's going to call us. He's placed us as a church to be creative, to try new things, to reach new people, to find out how we can pull people in, because this is the best thing to be a part of. We're going to try new things. We're going to be creative. And that way, there's going to be people and churches that say, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. What are you thinking? Why would you do that? And we're going to say, God told us to. And we're here to please God and not people. We'll always have to make a choice who we're going to please. Is it God or is it people? And often God's plan for us will displease people in our lives. Matthew 1:24-25 says, when Joseph woke up, he did. I love it. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Worship team, you can come on up. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. God may have something incredible planned for your life. In fact, I think he does. But he's calling us, even when it's not going to please someone in our life, to take a step of obedience, whatever that looks like. Joseph just said yes. He didn't sort out all the things. Last week we talked about we have to worry about obedience. God will worry about the outcome. He just said yes. I don't know how this is all going to go. I don't know where things are going to go from here. I don't know what people are going to say about me, what clubs I won't be able to be part of. I don't know what it's all going to look like, but I know that I'm supposed to go and I'm supposed to marry Mary. I'm supposed to be the dad of this kid, the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world. I'm supposed to believe the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to believe this angel. I'm supposed to believe that God is with me and that even when everyone else is saying you're crazy and this doesn't make sense and you should do it this way, you should try something new and you should probably dump her and leave her alone because she cheated on you. Even when everyone else is saying that, I'm going to hold on to the promise and plan that God placed before me. I'm going to do what he says. For some people, maybe there's some young people in this room where you feel like God is asking you to give something up and you're maybe going to be called into an internship. We plan on starting an internship next year. Maybe he's going to say, I want you to do that. Not I want you to give up a year of what everyone else says are the best years of your life where you can party and be free and be easy and whatever, no problem. I want you to give up a year and actually give it to God. I don't want you to party at all except in church because there's a lot of joy there, right, Lincoln? Yeah, you can go in there, you can be part of that. Okay, yeah, that sounds good, God, but all my other friends are sleeping around, and that sounds pretty fun too. Just so you know, sin sounds fun. It's not like sin is like ugly. Sin is beautiful to us. Sometimes, I mean, we've got this nature within us that wants everything that we shouldn't have and everything that God doesn't have for us. But God says, this is the plan I have for you. It's different than your friends say. It's different than culture says. It's different than what makes sense. And it may mean you go to a different country. It may mean you live on less money. It may mean you give more money. It may mean that you don't have sex until you're married. It may mean that you stick in a marriage that has been broken up. It may mean that you don't go where the best friends that you've always had and always gone with, you don't go with them where they're going this time. You don't follow them. You get new friends. You figure out new ways. It may mean something totally different than you planned on. But that's who's worth writing stories about. It's those people that will make those decisions that the angels will show up to. Say, I know what you're going to do with this information. I know who you've been. I believe in you. And you're going to step into the call of God rather than please people. So here's the call of God for you. Time for us to open our ears. Open our eyes for what that is for you. For me. For us as a church. Some people would be displeased with that. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. God's got something for you. Don't be afraid of what other people might think by you following that plan. Today, maybe you say you're in here and you say, I've never actually known that plan. I've never considered it. I've never known what that might look like for my life. I've actually just always done what I've always thought I should. I've always done what felt best and what seemed best and what everyone else was doing. But here I show up at church today and I'm not sure if that's actually accomplished for me what I wanted it to accomplish. I'm not sure if I've actually discovered what I wanted to discover. I'm not sure if I actually am fulfilled in my life and I'm here because I think there's probably something more and I haven't known what it is. I tell you, it's Jesus. It's his plan for you. It's leaving the people-pleasing and putting on the God-pleasing. It's taking up the plan that he has for your life, even if it means you have less friends, have less money, have less popularity, have less things, don't have as easy of a life. Maybe it's even going to be harder, and yet God will fulfill you in the midst of it. Maybe today you're here and you say, I need that. I'm done people-pleasing. I need to follow God. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand, even while all of our eyes are open, because you're not a people pleaser anymore. You're ready to decide, I want to follow Jesus with my life. Yes, I want to praise God. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone else? Yes, and yes, I'll pray for you. And yes, I want to pray for you right here. And you in the back, I want to pray for you. Bless you, God. Is there anyone upstairs? Yeah, I see that hand. Bless you. And there, praise you, God. No longer people pleasers, following God. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that I can pray for? I'll pray for you. Bless you. Bless you. Yeah, yeah, amen. Better late than never. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, God. What can you do? Yes, what can you do, God? With someone who says, I'm not all about what everyone says anymore, I'm about what God says. I know what you did through a little Mary and a little Joseph. I know what little baby came from them. I know what big world was changed because of that little baby. And so God, I pray for Marys and Josephs to rise up in those who have raised their hands and said, I'm done following people's ideas for what my life should look like, and I'm ready to go after what God's got for me. I wanna be like Mary and say yes. I wanna be like Joseph and say yes, and even if it looks different than what my mom, what my dad, what my auntie and uncle and teacher and pastor even thought, I'm gonna do it because God has said so. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your work today. Thank you for what you're doing. Even in the wild, wild west winter, you work, God. We praise you for that. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you raised your hand today, we'd love to hear from you. There's a Connect card right in front of you. We'd love for you to fill that out and then get it to the info center, or even just leave it on your chair and we'll come around and grab it. And Pastor George will contact you this week. And if you want him to never contact you again, we can do that. But we'd love to just chat with you for a first time and say, what did that decision look like? What does it mean for your life now? How can we get you involved in this church now? And we believe that as God would allow us to believe in him more than people's expectations of us, we're going to see incredible things happen. Praise God. Why don't we all stand? This is the end of the service. These guys are going to play a song. But as they do, you can head out, say hi to someone, have a little joy, laugh a little bit here in church, and follow his plan for your life. It's better than anyone else's. See you next week.